this country has gotten bloated and fat and disgusting and incompetently run.
Yeah, well, I agree with that last part anyway. You're the expert on bloated and fat and dumb or whatever.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Here I am. From Pacifica Radio, Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast. As heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, also in California in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, and Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day for your listening convenience on the Progressive Voices Channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman. Your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. All right, since we had to bump yesterday's Green News report for time, Desi Doyen.
Yes, I know.
You noticed? I promise we will get to it today a little bit later this hour.
Good.
I think. And as Washington Post had some breaking news on a related story since we did yesterday's Green News Report that you have been covering for, about 20 years now.
Oh, yeah.
One of those zombie never-ending stories, kind of like Republicans pretending there are massive numbers of dead people voting so that they can prevent living people that they don't like from voting. Kind of like one of those stories, though this one has to do with the ability of mankind to, you know, live on planet Earth. So it's arguably even more important. We will also get to that one a little bit later, I hope. But picking up on a story that we've been covering kind of all week long to some extent, as we are watching the attempt to dismantle the U.S. government and our constitutional order itself right before our very eyes at this moment, it sort of seems important. So these are the knuckleheads. These are the dopes who are claiming to be going through the federal government, agency by agency, item by item, line by line, under the guise of supposedly ensuring government efficiency and putting an end to all of that waste and fraud and abuse. Now, for the moment, never mind the fraud and abuse, because Elon Musk and the Doge bros have so far revealed zero evidence of any fraud or abuse in all of the agencies that they claim to be going through line by line, item by item over the past several weeks. They said that they would share their evidence of fraud and abuse with the American public, and yet they have shared exactly zero such evidence to date. Frankly, I'm sure it's there. I'm sure you can find fraud and abuse in the federal government, but they have just failed to reveal any evidence of any such fraud to date. Now, waste, well, if you don't like a law that's been passed by Congress, signed by the president to spend money in a certain way, I guess you might consider that to be waste, but you do not get to merely cancel it in that case. That's not how our constitutional system of governance works. If you don't like something that has been appropriated by Congress and signed into law by the president, well, you pass a new law to change it. But what Elon Musk and the Doge bros are doing, according to their own so-called wall of receipts that they post on their website, largely cryptically posting it on their website with screenshots. Well, these are government contracts, records of spending that they claim to be canceling, which in many cases is actually unlawful to do so. Well, you know what? Maybe we did find the fraud and abuse that they are creating by canceling contracts that they are not allowed to cancel. Cancel culture. But even if you believe that they are allowed to simply cancel this various spending by Doge fiat or something, even though it's been legally appropriated by Congress, Elon Musk's superboy geniuses who are combing through federal government agency expenditures line by line, they know so little about what they are doing and what they are looking at that they can't even get the general numbers on their wall of receipts right, or what they pretend to be saving the U.S. government. They have just massively fouled this up from day one, whether they're allowed to simply cancel those things or not. We told you earlier this week of the then $55 billion that these knuckleheads had claimed that they had saved for the American taxpayer, which, according to a whole bunch of different media outlets going through the Doge wall of receipts, found to be not $55 billion, but more like, $2.6 billion. Instead of $55 billion, after things, for example, like the $8 billion ICE contract turned out to actually have been not $8 billion, but $8 million. But to Elon and the Doge bros' credit, I guess, they have now begun sort of cleaning up some of the phony, fraudulent mess that they call the so-called wall of receipts, which means, according to the New York Times last night, they have now quietly deleted the five largest spending cuts that the Dodgers had been celebrating just last week.
And claiming credit for.
As Times reports, last week, Elon Musk's government cost-slashing initiative, which he calls the Department of Government Efficiency, posted an online wall of receipts celebrating how much it had saved by canceling federal contracts. Now, the organization, which is also known as the U.S. Doge Service, has deleted all of the five biggest so-called savings on that original list after the New York Times and other media outlets pointed out that they were riddled with errors. The last of the original top five disappeared from the site in the early hours of Tuesday, even as the group claimed in its latest update that its savings to date had now increased to $65 billion. The website offered no explanation for why it had removed some items or how it had arrived at the higher total even after removing those items. Carolyn Leavitt, the White House press secretary, sent a written statement that did not address the deletions at the site but provided a broader defense of the cost-cutting initiative, saying it, quote, has already identified billions of dollars in savings. Well, $2.6 billion at least. But not $65 billion. The so-called wall of receipts, the Times notes, is the only public ledger that the organization, the Doge Group, has produced to document its work. The scale of that ledger's errors and the misunderstandings and poor quality control that seem to underlie them has raised questions about the effort's broader work, which has led to mass firings and cutbacks across the federal government.
It sounds like the real waste, fraud, and abuse is being done by Doge.
Don't it, though? These are these same folks who cannot even get, you know, major line items right about the services that they are canceling for the American people are also the same bros who are tasked with carrying out these mass firings of American workers in the federal government. Many of them, by the way, Trump voters who seem to be having maybe second thoughts about all of about their votes for Donald Trump, given all of this. But we'll get to that another time. But here are the items, the five largest previously identified by Musk and Doge that they quietly removed from their wall of receipts in the middle of the night this week, basically saying, like Gilda Radner's Emily Letella,
never mind.
Yeah, never mind. These things didn't happen. These things don't exist. All right, so these are the five largest savings on the list. That $8 billion cut at Immigration and Customs Enforcement that I mentioned previously, where the actual contract in question was worth $8 million, not billion. Contracting experts said that the Doge bros should have known better. Why? Because ICE's entire budget is about $8 billion. Making it implausible that one contract could be so large. Then there were three, count them, three $655 million cuts at the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID. In fact, this was actually a single cut that was erroneously counted three times on their wall of receipts, as first reported by CBS News. The mistake seemed to reflect a misunderstanding of the way the government contracts work. They sometimes have so-called ceiling values far in excess of what will be spent, where the money allocated, in this case, $655 million, but only one time, where that was a ceiling on how much could eventually be spent over a certain period of time. During which they would come, frankly, nowhere near that ceiling. So even if you counted, if you only counted that $655 million one time, it was still not actually saving taxpayers $655 million, much less three times. Experts said this cancellation was unlikely to produce anything close to $655 million. Even once, now the site lists a much smaller savings for these three cancellations, $18 million in total, not $655 million three times over or even one time, but $18 million in total savings. That's just a little more money than Elon Musk and his companies personally get from the U.S. government every day, by the way, through their contracts. More on that in a moment. So that's four of the previous top five Doge money-saving items right there from their own evidence, produced on their own wall of receipts, and removed quietly at night, because never mind. And then there's the fifth, a $232 million cut at the Social Security Administration. Here, Musk's organization appeared to have mistakenly believed that the agency had canceled a huge information technology contract with the defense contracting giant called Leidos. Instead, as reported by The Intercept, it canceled only a tiny piece of it, a $560,000 project. The Doge site now shows that small cut instead, not $232 million saved for taxpayers, lawfully or otherwise, but $560,000 instead. And you'll be further shocked to learn that some of the newly canceled contracts that were added to the wall of receipts this week, well, they appear to make some of the very same types of screw-ups that they made previously. For example, the Times highlights the largest savings on the latest version of its list is a $1.9 billion cut at the Treasury Department. Well, billion here, billion there. Eventually, you're talking about real savings for the taxpayer, I guess. That's a big cut. It's a big savings that Elon and the boys have won for the American taxpayer, gutting all of that waste and fraud and abuse and increasing efficiency in the government. But funny thing, as the Times reported last week, this contract was actually canceled last fall. Yes, when President Joe Biden was in the White House and before Doge even existed. And yet, somehow, Elon and the Doge bros are, well, they're now even taking credit for having saved the taxpayers that $1.9 billion, cut at Treasury that they did not cut at all, that Joe Biden apparently cut. These are Elon Musk's super geniuses, ensuring efficiency of the federal government, cutting away waste and fraud and abuse, even though they have yet to show a single dollar of fraud or abuse, even though I'm sure there is plenty that they could find if they had an inkling of what the hell they were actually doing. And these are the same yutzes who are now laying off tens of thousands of American government workers, American workers, civilians, just trying to provide, you know, food to their families and help the government provide services, critical services to the American people, which, well, pretty much every person in the country relies on every single day. So I've been spending a lot of time on this, even though I really don't like talking about Elon Musk, but I've been spending a lot of time on it for a number of reasons. One of them, really the biggest, is because the administration and Republicans in Congress are trying to gaslight you about all of this. They're trying to gaslight you and their own MAGA dupes. That's what they're doing right now, repeating over and over that the government is bloated and fat and ugly and needs to be more efficient with less waste, fraud, and abuse. Well, it may need less waste, fraud, and abuse, but these guys are finding exactly none of it to date. And yet they are pretending that they are. You heard Trump making that claim today in a cabinet meeting at the top of the show. They're trying to hornswoggle you. And of course, it is working for their MAGA dupes, many of them anyway, who do not get any of this information for the most part via their so-called news sources like Fox and, of course, the social media sites controlled by Elon Musk and Donald Trump. But do not be hornswoggled. You have this right. All of their claims are as phony as you think they are. No matter how many times you hear Trump and his press secretary, B.S. Barbie, whatever her name is, and Republican members of Congress telling you that they're just citing, waste, fraud, and abuse. They aren't. That's not what they're cutting. It's a lie. And I want you to be confident in responding as much to the people that you know about these things. You have it right. They do not. They are lying to you. And where they're not lying to you, they're just getting stuff wrong because they don't know what the hell they're doing. You can have confidence talking to your MAGA brother-in-law to that end. Ask him, where is the evidence for any, even a dollar saved of fraud and abuse by the Doge Bros? And by the way, since Trump called the federal government fat and bloated and ugly and,
incompetently run,
he knows from fat and bloated and ugly. As I said over and over again over the past week or so, in 1960, government workers made up 4.6% of the national workforce. Now, since it's so fat and bloated and ugly, now, at least before the Doge Bros firing spree, government workers make up just 1.3% of the national workforce. No matter how much they try to gaslight you that the government has become huge and fat and bloated and out of control, it's about three times smaller than it was in 1960. And here's some more. While Musk and his Doge Bros are taking away your federal government services and the people who help provide them to you, what is Donald Trump's federal government doing for Elon Musk? Oh, look, giving him more government contracts. Yes, right now. Actually, Elon's just taking them for himself. Here's the story as reported by CNN last night. The Federal Aviation Administration has agreed to use SpaceX's Starlink internet system to upgrade the information technology networks it uses to manage U.S. airspace, raising new concerns about conflicts of interest for CEO Elon Musk in one of his other roles, that of recommending funding cuts at federal agencies, including the FAA. Well, it does not raise concerns, CNN. It is an actual conflict of interest, and arguably it is far worse than that, as TPM's Josh Marshall observed on Blue Sky last night as the story was breaking. Elon Musk is, quote, now literally assigning himself new contracts based on the use of his Doge wrecking crew and the associated micro bros. He says this isn't a conflict of interest. It's just handing yourself federal money. Back to CNN here. The size of the contract was not immediately reported. SpaceX is a privately held space technology company run by Elon Musk, greatly dependent on federal contracts, CNN notes, primarily from NASA. Its Starlink satellite internet provides service for government and private customers around the world. The contract comes while Musk is leading efforts to make deep cuts in federal government spending, so long as it's not government spending on his own companies, including staffing cuts at the FAA. And as CNN gently describes it, some critics are raising questions about conflicts of interest over his role overseeing government agencies that are supposed to be regulating his own businesses. The FAA's use of Starlink was first reported by Bloomberg. That report said it would eventually include 4,000 Starlink terminals and be deployed over the next 12 to 18 months, which is very nice for Elon Musk. What a lucky break to win such a big contract, even amid all of these cutbacks to government services and contracts that are going on right now. Everybody's getting cut, but what do you know? Not Elon's companies. They're getting a new contract. Soon after the fatal crash of a military helicopter and a regional jet on final approach to Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport, CNN observes, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy announced that he had discussions with Musk and that he was going to, that Musk was going to help the FAA, quote, remake our airspace and, quote, do it quickly. The FAA has already has a contract with Verizon to upgrade its information technology networks. In a post on X on Monday, however, Musk said, quote, the Verizon system is not working and so is putting air travelers at serious risk. Use mine instead. All right, he didn't actually say that last part, use mine instead, but he didn't have to. Verizon defended the quality of the work that it's doing for the FAA in a statement, quote, Verizon is bringing the nation's most reliable network to the FAA at a time when critical infrastructure and technology enhancements are needed most. We are at the beginning of a 15-year contract with FAA that will help the agency modernize its technology. Well, soon we'll learn, I guess, how long Verizon gets to keep that contract. Since, you know, Musk has got Starlink in there, why does he need Verizon? Maybe Verizon should have been Donald Trump's biggest campaign funder, giving him $250 million like Elon did. Oh, well, lesson learned. If you want, you know, free government money, I guess you better pay the guy who's elected more than everyone else. Because then you get to essentially reward yourself with government contracts. Make no mistake, that's what's going on here, no matter how CNN sort of underplays it. Musk's businesses, they note, including SpaceX, Tesla, and others, have benefited from numerous government programs and regulations over the years, which has made him the richest man on the planet. Without early support for Tesla, they note, from low-interest loans, tax credits for buyers of its electric vehicles, and the sale of regulatory credits to other legacy automakers trying to comply with emission standards, Tesla, the major source of his wealth, might not exist today. And that is true. Had there been a Tesla, an Elon Musk and a Doge Bros a few years ago looking at the federal government, they may have stopped everything that allowed Tesla to exist today that has made Elon Musk the richest man on the planet. But many of his numerous business interests are, in fact, overseen by federal agencies, or they used to be. Beyond the FAA and NASA, Elon Musk is also regulated by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the National Labor Relations Board, and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Or, as I said, he used to be. He has often clashed with many of those agencies over the years. Those clashes, however, are probably going to come to an end now, I guess. Here was Democratic Congressman Greg Kassar of Texas, I think that's how you say his name, during a recent hearing in the House Oversight Committee's so-called DOGE subcommittee, chaired by the talented Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Here was Congressman Kassar just 2 weeks ago.
This subcommittee is supposedly about looking into waste, fraud, and abuse. So I'd like to start talking about independent inspector generals who are supposed to be looking into waste, fraud, and abuse. Mr. Talkove, do you know how many inspector generals at agencies that were investigating Elon Musk's companies have been fired by the Trump-Musk administration?
No.
It is five. Ms. Royal, the inspector general of the Department of Labor had 17 open investigations into Tesla and SpaceX. Do you know what the Trump-Musk administration did to that inspector general?
No.
They fired him. And I think y'all know. Mr. Whitson, the inspector general of the Department of Transportation was investigating Tesla. Do you know what the Trump-Musk administration did to that inspector general?
No.
They were fired. The Department of Defense's inspector general was looking into SpaceX. Mr. Hedler, do you know what the Trump-Musk administration did to that inspector general?
I believe he was fired.
Thank you. I think everybody on the panel knows what the answer to these questions were. The U.S. Department of Agriculture Inspector General was investigating Musk's Neuralink. Mr. Talkove, now I'll ask you again under oath, do you know what Mr. Trump did to that inspector general that was looking into one of Musk's companies?
No.
He was fired. The inspector general at the EPA was repeatedly taking on Tesla. Mr. Hedler, since it seems that you're answering the questions that everyone knows the answer to, do you know what the Trump-Musk administration did to that inspector general?
I believe he was also fired.
Also fired. At least five inspector generals that were looking into Elon Musk's companies were fired by the Trump-Musk administration. These inspector generals, who are independent, protected by law, they are the people that find the waste, fraud, and abuse and found many of the cases of waste, fraud, and abuse that have been brought up today, fired because they were looking into Elon Musk. At the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, which is supposed to protect workers from getting their unions busted by folks like Elon Musk, made functionally broken by the so-called Department of Government Efficiency that really is the Department of Government Efficiency for Elon Musk, not for you. They are trying to shut down the Department of Education, the Department of Labor. You know what Elon Musk doesn't seem to be looking into? His own contracts. Again, I'll ask you, Mr. Talkove, do you know how much money a day Mr. Musk will receive from the federal government for his contracts?
No.
The answer is $8 million a day. Just last year, Elon Musk was promised $3 billion from close to 100 contracts with the federal government. Ms. Royal, do you know how much the average person in this country who survives on Social Security, one of our seniors who's worked their entire life, about how much they have to survive on a day?
I do not.
$65 a day. We're not looking into Elon Musk's $8 million a day. This subcommittee, chaired by Marjorie Taylor Greene and the House Republicans, is looking into your grandmother's $65 a day. Let me be clear. I think we would all support taxpayer savings, look into money we might needlessly send to billionaires and big corporations, find taxpayer savings and send it back to your hardworking family. But instead, what House Republicans and the Trump-Musk administration want to do is they want to look into your kids' lunch money, your kids' teacher's salary, into your grandparents' Social Security. They want to take that money and give it out in billionaire tax cuts, and they are talking about that in committee tomorrow, in budget committee tomorrow. They just released their plan. So let me be clear. When Republicans talk about government efficiency in this Congress, they're not looking into billionaires who don't pay their taxes. They're not looking into billionaires who get rich off of government contracts. They're not looking into Elon Musk firing watchdogs who are supposed to keep him accountable. They're looking at cutting your public schools. They're going straight for your Social Security. They're coming straight for cancer research. They're coming straight for the Department of Education. They're not looking at big tech. They're not looking at big pharma because those people fund their campaigns. If this committee were serious about rooting out waste from our federal government, then today's whole hearing would be about how Musk and Donald Trump are firing the independent watchdogs who've done this work for decades. Instead, my Republican colleagues' actual goal on this committee is to distract from Trump and from Musk's corrupt war on accountability. This will not be a subcommittee dedicated to making government efficient for everyday people. It's about helping Elon Musk and Donald Trump be as efficient as possible in robbing our government and handing out our government services to the rich. So this seems that this subcommittee is just
the gentleman's time like the agency is expired. After the gentleman's
sham,
time has expired.
A total sham.
He got that last one in there.
He did. Well done, Congressman Kassar of Texas. That was 2 weeks ago. Thanks to listener All In for tipping us off to that C-SPAN clip. But that was 2 weeks ago. Imagine how much worse things have gotten since. And never mind, the elderly surviving on $65 a day while Elon Musk is surviving on $8 million a day in government contracts. On Tuesday night, the Republican Party in the House voted to cut about $250 billion in medical care for Americans in hopes of passing their budget and Donald Trump's trillions of dollar tax cuts to the wealthy and corporations. But some good news that I quickly referenced yesterday, I didn't have time to dive into. Let me try to run through it quickly here. Three different federal judges delivered setbacks and slapdowns to Donald Trump in the span of 1.5 hours on Tuesday. 90 minutes in a series of major cases challenging moves taken during the early days of his second term. Yes, Elon Musk can do what he wants, but not necessarily is this stuff legal and will it actually be able to stand? We shall see. The rulings from the judges in Washington, D.C. and Washington State are the latest to pump the brakes on Trump's agenda, reports Devin Cole at CNN, underscoring the critical role the courts have taken on foes of Trump looking to frustrate his actions. Foes of Trump looking to frustrate his actions.
Interesting CNN. Framing there.
How about Americans fighting to uphold the rule of law and the U.S. Constitution? There, fixed it for you, CNN. You're welcome. In D.C. on Tuesday, Judge Lauren Ali Khan issued a preliminary injunction that indefinitely blocks the administration from freezing federal grants and loans, at least until the challenge to the administration's attempt to block virtually all federal funding for virtually all federal programs approved by Congress and signed by presidents, including Donald Trump, until that case is resolved in the court. Judge Ali Khan wrote in her ruling, quote, "In the simplest terms, the freeze was ill-conceived from the beginning. Defendants either wanted to pause up to $3 trillion in federal spending practically overnight, or they expected each federal agency to review every single one of its grants, loans, and funds for compliance in less than 24 hours. The breadth of that command is almost unfathomable, she said. She went on to call the spending freeze, quote, irrational, imprudent, and precipitating a nationwide crisis. The judge said the nonprofits that brought the case were likely to succeed on their claims that the freeze was in fact unlawful. Quote, the scope of power that the Office of Management and Budget seeks to claim is breathtaking, she wrote, and its ramifications are massive because there is no clear statutory hook for this broad assertion of power. Plaintiffs are likely to succeed on the merits of this claim. Interestingly, she also cited the so-called major questions doctrine, which Republicans on the U.S. Supreme Court have made up basically from whole cloth. Whenever they want to stop something like a Democratic administration using authority under the Clean Air Act to prevent emissions from power plants, for example, that cause global warming, even though presidents have such authority under the law, the right-wing SCOTUS has claimed that, well, that's a major question that Congress has to specifically ring in about that specific thing. Even though the High Court has taken upon themselves to decide what qualifies as an actual major question. You know, basically, if it's something that Fox News has a problem with.
Exactly.
None of this, of course, is found anywhere in the U.S. Constitution. There is no major questions doctrine. And the judge citing concerns about the major questions doctrine here, it could be the first time that the doctrine has been cited by a lower court to block something that a Republican administration was trying to do. So that should be fun to watch moving forward. Shortly before she issued her ruling in that case, a separate judge in the same D.C. federal courthouse, Judge Amir Ali, ordered the Trump administration to pay foreign aid-related money that was owed to government contractors and nonprofits, and to do it by Wednesday night at midnight, amid this legal fight over the freezing of aid of USAID and State Department funds. That order amounted to a legal reprimand after the plaintiffs in the case repeatedly accused the administration of not complying with the judge's earlier order that had revived the funding contracts and grants that existed at the end of the Biden administration. The Trump administration lawyers were unable during the hearing to cite actions that had been taken to unfreeze those funds under the court's previous order, which did not make the judge happy. So he issued a very, very specific order, this time in more forceful terms, ordering the government to pay the money owed to contractors, owed stuff that was already done to contractors and nonprofits for work that had been completed by the February 13 order, and to do it no later than midnight on Wednesday. That said, according to Reuters today, the administration has said that it can't make that deadline. It won't make that deadline. It's going to try to pay some of those things, but it can't do all of them. And in the meantime, it is appealing that order from that judge. Quote, "The lengths that the government is willing to go to flout a court order, all for the goal of ending life-saving humanitarian assistance, is staggering," said Allison Zeev, a lawyer representing two of the plaintiffs in the case, the AIDS Vaccine Advocacy Coalition and Journalism Development Network. And in the third case where Trump lost in court on Tuesday, across the country in Washington state, a federal judge in Seattle issued a preliminary injunction on Tuesday that halts Trump's executive order suspending refugee admissions and funding. The judge in the case, Jamal Whitehead, said that Trump's actions, quote, amount to an effective nullification of congressional will in establishing the nation's refugee admissions program. The executive order, signed on Trump's first day back in office, directed a review of the refugee program and stated that resettlement should only resume if deemed to be in the, quote, national interest, which is, critics charged, a de facto refugee ban. You can't do it like that. All three of those federal judges were appointed by Joe Biden, leading Elon Musk on Tuesday night afterwards to post at least six times on his social media site, X, calling for the impeachment of federal judges who rule against the Trump administration, favorably citing similar actions by authoritarian leaders in other countries, claiming, quote, "We must impeach to save democracy," and asking in one of his posts, quote, "What is the point of having democratic elections if unelected activist judges can override the clear will of the people?"
Oh, man.
As the unelected guy personally gutting the federal government added, "Well, that's no democracy at all." Does he have any sense of self-awareness whatsoever? Any? Now, you may have heard of those rulings in those cases. They were pretty big ones. But, you know, there are at least 80 other such cases right now challenging a whole bunch of stuff that this administration is doing, including one that was filed this week by farmers. Yes, farmers who are suing the administration over the deletion of climate data from government websites. Yes, farmers who might support Donald Trump, they are none too happy that he has erased the data that they rely on regarding climate and climate change from government websites. I'm running late for a change, but hopefully we'll have time to circle back for more details on that in the days ahead. But speaking of climate and the Supreme Court, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back with the latest news on that 20-year-old zombie story I mentioned at the top regarding climate change. And Desi Doyen will also have our latest Green News Report as, yep, new data finds climate change is quickening and Donald Trump is wasting, defrauding, and abusing Americans when it comes to money already spent on electric vehicle charging stations. All of that is straight ahead on the Bradcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't touch that dial.
The Bradcast and the Green News Report are 100% independent, 100% listener-supported. But we can't do it alone. We need you. Please help us bring real facts to listeners at independent stations around the nation. Please drop by bradblog.com/donate. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
So as welcome back to the Bradcast, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. As noted previously, I had a bump yesterday's Green News Report. Sorry about that, Des. We ran a little bit long. So we will get to that momentarily. But this came in today. I think Washington Post originally broke this. And it comes, you know, even as it has been pushing or exceeding 80 degrees out here in Southern California in February over the past several days. Way higher than the average, which is like mid to late 60s. And it's been even warmer elsewhere in the Southwest, in Phoenix and Vegas. Desi, as all of this goes, I cannot believe that we are still covering this story. I first recall covering it at least 20 years ago at bradblog.com regarding the EPA's sort of notorious by now so-called endangerment finding regarding greenhouse gases and global warming. Let me let you take this one. I'm exhausted from that first block. Let you explain this before we get to our latest Green News Report.
Okay,
today.
So first of all, we have to explain what that is, the endangerment finding.
Yes.
That is the legal underpinning of a host of climate regulations that govern motor vehicles, power plants, oil wells, other industrial pollution sources. So repealing the endangerment finding would dismantle that legal foundation for those regulations and make it easier to overturn Biden-era climate policies. So what's happened is that, according to the Washington Post, on Wednesday, and that's since been independently confirmed by other media outlets, mm-hmm. Anonymous sources at the EPA say that EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin has privately recommended to the Trump White House that they strike down the endangerment finding. The endangerment finding is the scientific determination that greenhouse gases cause global warming, and that therefore poses a threat to public health and welfare.
These greenhouse gases endanger the public. The EPA has found that it endangers the public, and therefore they are able to take action on it, correct?
Right. So now if they do reverse this, it would be very, very huge. But the EPA did not make that assessment, that recommendation to the Trump White House public.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting data point. We'll come back to that. So let's first go through how we got here. So in 2007, in a ruling, Massachusetts versus EPA, the U.S. Supreme Court effectively compelled EPA to assess whether those greenhouse gases endangered public health, mm-hmm. you know, through climate intensified disasters like hurricanes, wildfires, and floods. So that was a 5-4 ruling. It upheld that the agency has the authority to regulate greenhouse gases as pollutants under the Clean Air Act if the agency found that greenhouse gases endanger public health.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if it finds that, then it must, as a mandatory duty, regulate greenhouse gases.
That, according to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and of course, we all know by now, it is super obvious that greenhouse gas emissions do cause global warming. They do endanger public health and welfare. We see this every year in mounting extreme weather disasters that are extremely costly and are growing in frequency and intensity. The science could not be clearer. So what happened is...
But back in 2007, there was a question about it. Supreme Court said, well, if that's what they find...
Then they must
regulate. Then
they got to
take that action.
So,
right.
Yeah. And so the scientists at EPA under George W. Bush did find that endangerment determination, that endangerment finding. They sent that to the Bush White House via email. And guess what happened?
What happened?
The Bush White House refused to open that email.
They wouldn't open the email. They knew what it was in it. They knew there was an endangerment finding, but hey, if we don't open the email, we don't know anything about it. We don't have to take any action on it. That was what the Bush-Cheney White House did way back when.
Yes. So, of course, the Obama White House came in and they formally adopted that endangerment
finding. They opened
finding.
They checked their email.
They
you
checked
got
the
mail.
Email.
They looked at the inbox. What do you know? Greenhouse gases do endanger Americans' lives, and that may, therefore action can be taken on.
Yeah, so that was back in 2009, and so now both the Obama and Biden administrations both used that determination to set new limits on emissions from cars and power plants. So experts say that those stronger regulations that have been enacted because of the endangerment finding have yielded enormous benefits for public health in reducing toxic air pollution and planet warming emissions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Project 2025 called for repealing or updating the endangerment finding because, you know, they saw that as critical, which it is.
So they want to unfind it?
Yes.
It has already been found.
I know. And so, you know, and that is pretty much key. Now, on the first day of his second term, Trump signed an executive order that ordered the EPA to review the, quote, legality and continuing applicability of the endangerment finding. Like, is there new science or something?
Well, there could be new science, but there is no new science. So basically he's asking, find something to unfind this information.
Exactly. So, you know, now at the time, now they all, I should also mention that in the first in the first Trump administration, climate science denial groups also had filed a petition asking the EPA to repeal the endangerment finding. But back in the first Trump administration, EPA lawyers rejected that petition.
Well.
Yes.
Well,
so that.
I guess he needs to get better lawyers. Or worse lawyers.
Well, he
to,
does have them now.
Yeah, he's got them
and
now.
So that could factor into the expected legal challenges if they do try to repeal the endangerment finding. AP says that, you know, environmental groups and legal experts say any attempt to repeal it or roll it back would be an uphill task with a slim chance of success. But of course, we're talking about the new Supreme Court that might actually decide that, no, we've changed our minds. It's EPA, even if you do think that it is endangering public health, then you don't have the authority
to regulate
it anyway.
They'll come up with some new magical thing, like just like they did with immunity, just like they did with major questions. Well, that might be the case, but it's a major question that we, you know, we can't resolve it. If Congress doesn't specifically say these things, then it can't be done.
Right. So it is unlikely that they will be able to come up with any science that they can use in court. So they'll probably have to try something else. But I think we can rely on the idea that they will try.
They will try. We and if a Washington Post has it correct, I think others have since reported that that is the plan for the EPA to try to unfind the endangerment finding. That, yes, greenhouse gases endanger the world, endanger the planet, endanger humanity, endanger Americans, endanger the very people that Donald Trump pretends that he gives a damn about.
Yep.
Underscoring the word pretend there. You know, that's the plan. That's what they're going to do. And I suspect we will still be reporting this some 20 years from now. Because it just keeps going back and forth and back and forth.
Well, hopefully not, but we'll see.
And as Desi always says, That's why elections matter.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, and more bad news along those lines, let's get to it. Our latest Green News Report.
Mountain glaciers are melting more than twice as rapidly as in the early 2000s.
World glaciers are melting faster than ever. World sea ice also plummeting to record lows. Plus, Trump administration is dismantling critical climate and disaster aid programs.
Excellent timing. All of those stories and more straight ahead from BrandBlog.com. I'm Brand Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
It's like we're a giant garbage can.
How dare you? If anything, America is a recycling bin. Useless and made almost entirely of plastic.
There you go. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, so everything is falling apart. Everything is melting. All the seas are rising. And we're doing the opposite of what we should be doing about it.
Yes, funny that, isn't it?
Hilarious.
Well, first off, the world's glaciers are melting at record speed, and the rate itself is accelerating. A massive, comprehensive new study in the journal Nature has found mountain glaciers are melting more than twice as rapidly as they did in the early 2000s due to rising global temperatures caused by the burning of fossil fuels. Glaciers in the Alps lost more than anywhere else, shrinking by nearly 40% since 2000. Melting glaciers are a major contributor to rising sea levels, mm-hmm. according to glaciologist Jack Kohler on CBS News.
If you live in Florida, you're seeing the effect of sea level rise already. There's very high tides, which are not caused by any storms or anything. It's just a daily occurrence. And this is because sea level is inexorably rising and glaciers are contributing very significantly to that.
The world's sea ice extent also plummeted to new record lows this month, surpassing the previous lowest record set just last year. Both the Arctic and the Antarctic are experiencing unusually warm conditions. At the North Pole, temperatures are more than 35 degrees warmer than normal.
What, 35 degrees warmer
yes.
than normal?
Fahrenheit. That is slowing the formation of sea ice. And at the South Pole, unusually warm temperatures triggered a massive melt across the region. The new record low for sea ice follows last month being the hottest January ever recorded, and 2024 setting a new record for the hottest year ever recorded.
Things are going great.
In Europe, Germany's center-right conservative party won the general election in that nation over the weekend, limiting gains by the anti-climate far-right extremist party to...
You mean the neo-Nazis?
Yes. AP reports climate experts are hopeful that Germany's new government will remain committed to the nation's prior climate targets to slash its planet-warming emissions and expand its renewable energy industries. Here in the U.S., the Trump administration is virtually eliminating the office that funds reconstruction after the nation's largest disasters. Leaked documents show that the administration plans to cut the staff of the Office of Community Planning and Development by 84%, which experts say is likely to slow the distribution of recovery money to North Carolina and California and other places experiencing recent disasters, and will severely hamper rebuilding after future hurricanes, wildfires, and other disasters made worse by climate change.
Making America great again.
The Trump administration has also ordered FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, to stop its work developing stronger building codes for disasters that help homes survive hurricanes, wildfires, and earthquakes. FEMA will also rescind all recommendations that its experts have already submitted, according to NPR. And although the agency faces chronic understaffing during major disasters, FEMA just fired more than 200 employees, including those deployed during disasters. a move that disaster experts say will leave the agency less prepared for hurricane and wildfire season this summer.
Making America disastrous again.
And finally, as part of Donald Trump's agenda to roll back progress on electric vehicles and clean energy, the Trump White House has ordered the General Services Administration, which oversees the federal government's buildings, to disconnect all 8,000 of its electric vehicle charging stations across the nation, taking those charging stations out of service, and the power to those stations will be turned off so that no one can ever use them.
These are charging stations that are already in place at federal facilities. They're already working, and the Trump administration says, turn them off.
Right. And removing non-Tesla electric car infrastructure is a gift to Elon Musk.
What about all of those electric cars that federal workers use?
Those will all be sold off.
Well, that's efficiency for you. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Stupid boy. Stupid boy.
Really stupid.
Oh, it's
really
ridiculously stupid and incredibly wasteful. Some new reporting on the Trump administration shutting down and ripping out all of those electric vehicle charging stations at federal buildings. E&E now reports that the cost of shutting down those 8,000 stations could be as much as $1 billion. Billion with a B.
Well, there you go. There's more of that cutting of waste, fraud, and abuse by the federal government, right?
Yeah. $1
billion. More efficiency, jackass.
And can we also add, just real quick, that for the government to spend all that money on fossil fuels now, volatile, expensive fossil fuels, when it was actually saving money on electric cars.
Yep. Got to get out. Thanks again to our producer, Desi Doyen. Thanks to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's program or any other, you can always download them for free at bradblog.com. How's that for efficient? But while you're there, please consider hitting one of those donate buttons to help us stay on your public airwaves. Or you can go straight to bradblog.com/donate to help us do exactly that, at least until ExxonMobil finally decides to sponsor the broadcast. I don't know what the holdup is. Drop me email if you like. I am bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the social medias, now including Blue Sky, you will find me at The Brad Blog. You'll find Desi at
Green News Report. Please do come by and say hi.
I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener-supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.